Good morning and welcome to worship at West End United Methodist Church. During this holy season, we come before the God of all seasons. Once again, good morning and welcome to worship at West End. We're pleased that you've joined us, especially if you're here for the first time or you've just begun attending recently. We want to say a special word of welcome and extend our invitation to you to become a member of our household here, our household of faith. One way to do that is to be involved in what God is doing in and through this congregation. I want to lift up a few of those opportunities, but you'll find a lot more in your bulletin insert. First of all, if you are new to the church and you would like to learn more about West End or United Methodism generally, we invite you to take part in West End 101. It begins this week, today, in McWhirter Hall at around 9:45. If you go down there, Aaron Racine will meet you and you can begin that process. Even if you're not new to the church, but you would just like to learn more about this congregation, please feel free to join them down there. This coming Wednesday at 6 p.m., Brood Theology meets. If you're a 20 or 30-something looking for community, this is the place for you. It'll meet at Tennessee Brew Works. You can show up between 5:30 and 6, grab something to drink. Conversation starts at 6. If you want to check it out more fully, you can go to Brood Theology Nashville on Facebook. Also, our Lenten Noon concerts continue on Thursdays. We have a concert at noon, lunch following. If you're going to be here at lunch, please make a reservation. It's very, very, very helpful. This week, our recital will be performed by oboist Roger Wiesmeyer. So I hope you will join us for that this week, and it continues throughout Lent. You can see the schedule in your bulletin insert. Also, take note that our Choral Vespers, our Chancel Choir concert, is on March 12th at 4:30 p.m. It is a kind of combination between a concert and a worship service, and I know you will find it to be a really valuable part of your Lenten observance. Do you ever intend to do something and then just don't get around to it? Or you know you are not going to do something and then you go ahead and do it? Well, you're not alone. Listen, stick around. We're going to talk about what Paul has to say about that.
Thank you. Today, the Lenten journey begins. Are you ready? Let go of those things that keep you from the journey. Come, let us worship and feel the power of freedom in God. Almighty God, unto whom all hearts are open and all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of thy Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love thee and worthily magnify thy holy name. Through Jesus our Lord. Amen. Ye that do truly and earnestly repent of your sins and are in love and charity with your neighbors, and intend to lead a new life, following the commandments of God and walking from henceforth in his holy ways, draw near with faith and take this holy sacrament to your comfort and make your humble confession to Almighty God. Almighty God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, maker of all things, judge of all people, we acknowledge and bewail our manifold sins and wickedness, which we from time to time most grievously have committed, by thought, word, and deed, against thy divine majesty. We do earnestly repent and are heartily sorry for these our misdoings. The remembrance of them is grievous unto us. Have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us, most merciful Father. For thy Son, our Lord Jesus Christ's sake, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may hereafter serve and please thee in newness of life, to the honor and glory of thy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, who of thy great mercy hast promised forgiveness of sins to all them that with hearty repentance and true faith turn to thee, have mercy upon us, pardon and deliver us from all our sins, confirm and strengthen us in all goodness, and bring us to everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear what comfortable words of Scripture say to all that truly turn to the Lord. The saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. The peace of Christ be with you. I invite you to stand and greet those who are around you this morning. Let us pray together the Lenten prayer for illumination. Holy God, Word made flesh, let us hear this word open to your voice. Silence our agendas, confound our expectations, and clear the cobwebs from our ears. We know that you can, we pray that you will, and we wait with great anticipation. Amen. A reading from the Gospel according to the New Testament. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of the flesh, sold into slavery under sin. I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now, if I do what I do not want, I agree that the law is good, but in fact, it is no longer I that do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells within me, that is, in my flesh. I can will what is right, but I cannot do it. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I do. Now if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I that do it, but sin that dwells within me. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do what is good, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inmost self, but I see in my members another law at war with the sin of my mind, making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with my mind, I am a slave to the law of God, but with my flesh, I am a slave to the law of sin. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
A number of years ago, I was preaching down near Mount Pleasant, Tennessee. And after the service, a young woman came up to me. This young woman had various challenges going on, and so was more direct and honest, I think, than most of us when we are in church. And when she came up to me afterwards, she said, "You know what? You're a mess." Well, she named it. I think what she meant was that what I said had amused her. It was funny, but she got it right. I'm a mess. And quite frankly, if we were all honest, you would say the same thing, wouldn't you? In the study book, Restored, by Tom Berlin, some of you are reading that, he talks about us being a mess. And we're all our own particular kind of mess, I guess. But we all share some things in common. You can't see them, but if you were to look at my fingernails, you would notice that while some of them are longer, some of them are short, and some of them are bitten into the quick. I have bitten my fingernails all my life. I have gotten better about letting some grow. But these thumbnails haven't had nails on them since I can't remember when. Well, they've got nails, they just stop at a certain point. The litany of my young life went this way: stand up straight, stop biting your nails. The thing that I do not want to do is the very thing that I do. Sound familiar? And when I see you, if I haven't seen you for a while, I will make all kinds of promises about calling and getting together and making a time for us to have lunch or dinner, and I will not call. The very thing I want to do is the thing that I don't do. Even though I know it will be fun, even though I know we'll have a great time. What's up with that? The very thing I don't want to do, I do. I'm going to tell you about biting my nails. I'm not going to tell you about anything else, not in church anyway. The very thing that I genuinely want to do, I often procrastinate or never get around to. This is the perfect text for the beginning of Lent, I think. Here we have Paul at his most vulnerable. Most of us know Paul as that guy who has all the answers. He had all the answers before he started following Jesus, and guess what? He has all the answers after he followed Jesus. Or he seems to. If you read many of his letters, it would appear that he has it all together, that he knows exactly what he thinks. And even though he's often responding to issues in that particular church, he has the solution for their problems. You ever know anybody like that? Yet in Romans, we see Paul struggle. He doesn't understand why everybody doesn't agree with him. Why his Jewish friends and neighbors don't see the same Messiah in Jesus that he sees. But one thing he is sure of, that God does not go back on promises. And so he's not going to write the Jewish people off, because God had promised to be with them. And even though he doesn't understand what's going on, At this point, he doesn't have the answer. He has to leave it up to God. He even warns his Gentile followers, those he has brought into the church, don't be arrogant, because you were wild olive shoots grafted onto a domestic olive tree, the olive tree of Judaism. So don't think you're better than the Jews around you just because you see something that you don't think they see. And then in this passage, he struggles very personally. He lets us catch a glimpse of his own dilemma, the one that I described earlier. He says, the very thing I don't want to do is the thing I do. When I walk into a discussion with someone who disagrees with me, I always promise myself, I'm going to keep my voice down, my throat's not going to get tight, my stomach's not going to get tight, I'm not going to start getting louder and louder and more aggressive. And guess what? My guess is Paul experienced the same thing. And the very thing I want to do is the thing I don't do. I don't know if there's a better description of the human condition in all of our brokenness. We want to do the right thing. We even know what the right thing is to do, and then we don't do it. We know that certain things are destructive or at least not helpful, and we say, we promise ourselves we're not going to do those things, and then we do them. Paul is admitting his own helplessness. He is not in control of his life. It's almost like he's introducing himself to a 12-step group. My name was Saul, it's now Paul. I'm a fill in the blank. The first thing I have to admit is that I don't control this thing. I am not in control. Because the very thing I hate to do, I do. The very thing I want to do, I don't. And then he cries out, "O wretched man that I am, who will release me? Who will deliver me from this body of death?" Ordinarily, Paul reserves his anger for other people who have made him angry. This time, that energy that goes into anger with Paul goes into his own self-reflection. And what he sees in himself, he does not like. Lent is a time when we look in ourselves. It's a time when we look into those dark corners of our lives that we don't want anybody else to look into and that we don't look into very often because they remind us we are not the people we propose to be to others. We want people to think that we're smart, we've got it all together, we've achieved certain things, and oh my goodness, we want people to think we're important. And then we look into this space and we recognize that there's an emptiness in there that we keep trying to fill by convincing people how smart we are, or convincing people how good we are, or convincing people how accomplished we are. And it's like a huge black hole and it never gets filled. Sometimes we try to fill that with alcohol or sex or work or any number of other things. And again, it's like a black hole. It absorbs all of that and is never filled. Paul is experiencing this. He is completely helpless in the face of his compulsions. And all he can do is cry out for help. We don't like to look into those dark corners. I know I don't, because I am a mess. Maybe you are too. We want people to think we have it together, even though we know that we don't. Lent is the time when we intentionally look into those places. Lent is the time when we often feel, like Paul, helpless to do anything to control the compulsions that seem to control our lives. Like Paul, we cry out, "Oh, wretched man, oh, wretched woman that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" And he immediately from that cry for help goes into praise for Jesus Christ, because he knows the answer to that. Not because Jesus is a puppet master in control, but because this emptiness is a space that we open when we look honestly into it. And it's a space where Jesus can enter and make a difference. That's what we are trying to do in Lent, not just to put ourselves down. Today at communion, we'll use the liturgy written by Thomas Cranmer. I know, some of you love it, some of you hate it, you tell me. It's okay. It's a very penitential liturgy. And yet, in Lent, what could be more appropriate? Because I don't believe Cranmer was just trying to beat himself or us over the head with our sinfulness. I think, in a sense, he's trying to open a space to have us look honestly in that emptiness to create a space for Christ to enter in, for Jesus to walk in. We sometimes say we journey with Jesus during Lent. Well, maybe Jesus journeys with us. Maybe he walks into that space. If he experienced everything that we do as human beings, then he knows what it's like to live in that space. So the bad news is, in Lent, we look into the places that we don't necessarily want to look, and we see things we don't necessarily want to see, and we have to admit things about ourselves that we don't necessarily want to admit. The good news is, by looking into that space, we create a space into which Jesus can enter and walk with us. But there's one other complication. When Jesus comes into that space, he always brings his friends. Remember who his friends are? Tax collectors and sinners, prostitutes and the outcast, the least of these. So once we open that space to Jesus, we open that space to his friends as well. Often these are folks who do not have the luxury of a public face and a private face. They're out there. People know, quote, what they are and define them by what they are. But if we're going to welcome Jesus, we welcome his friends as well, because we know that we are like them. When we are honest and look into that emptiness and space, there's not that much difference, if any at all, between us and the sinners and the tax collectors and the prostitutes who surrounded Jesus. Thanks be to God that he still comes to us. He still enters us. Oh, wretched people that we are, who will deliver us from this body of death? Well, if we're open and honest about who we are, we all know the answer. It's Jesus. Our affirmation can be found on number 888 in your hymnal. I invite you to stand as you're able. This is the good news which we have received, in which we stand, and by which we are saved. Christ died for our sins, was buried and raised on the third day, and appeared first to the women, then to Peter and the 12, then to many faithful witnesses. We believe Jesus is the Christ, the anointed one of God, the firstborn of all creation, the firstborn from the dead, in whom all things hold together, in whom the fullness of God was pleased to dwell by the power of the Spirit. Jesus, head of the church, and by the blood of the cross, reconciles all things to God.
We welcome all who gather to worship with us today. If you are a guest among us, we extend a special word of welcome to you. We are glad you are here, and we hope you will join us for coffee and fellowship in Reed Hall through the doors to your right following our worship service. Our Andrew ministers would love to greet you and answer any questions you may have. They'll be stationed in Reed Hall and in the narthex at the rear of the sanctuary after the service. You can look for them by their blue name tags. If you are a student, either undergraduate or graduate, you are invited to join the student community for lunch and faith discussions following the late worship service. They will gather in Reed Hall. In the pew racks in front of you, you'll find a gray card. We invite you to record your prayer requests there, indicating if they are to be shared or kept confidential. You can place the card in the offering plates as they are passed down the pews in a few moments. Please take a moment to record your attendance with us by passing the attendance pad you find near the center aisle down the pew if you have not already done so. As the pad is passed back down the pew to the center aisle, we invite you to take note of those who are worshiping with you and greet anyone you may not know at the end of the service. And now we move into our time of offering. Let us extend our tithes and offerings to God in the divine work of drawing in the whole world to God's reign of justice and love. Will our ushers please come forward?
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord.
It is
very meet, right, and our bounden duty that at all times and in all places we should give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, Everlasting God. Therefore, with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, seated. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, who of thy tender mercy didst give thine only Son, Jesus Christ, to suffer death upon the cross for our redemption, who made there, by the one offering of himself, a full, perfect, and sufficient sacrifice for the sins of the whole world, and didst institute and in his holy gospel command us to continue our perpetual memory of his precious death until his coming again. Hear us, O merciful Father, we most humbly beseech thee, and bless and sanctify with thy word and Holy Spirit these gifts of bread and wine, that we, receiving them according to thy Son, our Savior Jesus Christ's holy institution, in remembrance of his passion, death, and resurrection, may be partakers of the divine nature through him, who in the same night he was betrayed took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Likewise, after the supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of this. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me." Let us pray together. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, we, thy humble servants, desire thy fatherly goodness, mercifully to accept this, our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. By the blessing, grant that, by the merits and death of thy Son, Jesus Christ, and through faith in his blood, we and thy whole church may obtain forgiveness of our sins and all other benefits of his passion. And here we offer and present unto thee, O Lord, ourselves, our souls and bodies, to be a reasonable, holy, and lively sacrifice unto thee, humbly beseeching thee that all we who are partakers of this holy communion may be filled with his grace and heavenly benediction. And although we be unworthy through our manifold sins to offer unto thee any sacrifice, yet we beseech thee to accept this duty, but pardoning our offenses, through Jesus Christ our Lord, by whom and with whom, in the communion of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory be unto thee, O Father Almighty, world without end. Amen. The body of Christ, broken for you and for the world. The blood of Christ poured out for you and for the world. Let us continue in prayer together. We do not presume to come to this thy table, O merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in thy manifold grace, but thou art the same Lord, whose property is always to have mercy. Grant us therefore, gracious Lord, so to partake of this sacrament of thy Son Jesus Christ, that we may walk in newness of life, may grow into his likeness, and may evermore dwell in him, and he in us. Thank you. This is our Lord's table, and you are all invited. You don't have to be United Methodist. You don't have to be a baptized Christian. If you're seeking a new or renewed relationship of love with God and your neighbor, you are welcome to come and take this holy sacrament to your comfort. The choir will come first and be served, and then we invite you to come by way of the center aisle. Kneel. You'll be offered the bread first, then the cup. You're welcome to remain at the chancel rail for a time of prayer if you choose. You're welcome to simply rise and go back to your seat if you choose. When you do, we ask that you go back by way of the side aisles. If you need to be served in the pew, just catch my eye or Lisa's eye or the eye of one of the ushers, and we'll be glad to serve you there. We take an offering at each of our communion services, and this month the offering goes to help support our Guatemala mission trip, which will be April 22nd through 30th. We are working with the indigenous Maya people of Guatemala. This is something we have done for a number of years, and several of the members will be helping in the clinic. Others will complete a construction project. This will help cover the $5,000 donation of medical supplies that the medical team is asking us to take to help them out. Now, there is a video available on our website if you would like to learn more about this particular project. If you would like to support it financially, there are two plates next to the front pew. You may leave your offering there as you come. My friends, these are the gifts of God for all God's people. Thanks be to God. I invite you to stand and join me in our prayer of thanksgiving. The peace of the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord. Almighty and most merciful God, from thee comes every good. Now go forth in peace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you now and always. Amen.